Good morning. I started this talk on a different place than where I actually finished. It doesn't happen very often, but I had a day yesterday. Yesterday, I was home with my three children, and we started off this talk on Wednesday. I actually had part of it written. Speaking about rejoicing. Today I'm going to be speaking about anger. It was a good day with the three of them. We cleaned the house. That was great. They don't like it. I really don't like it. They did a good job after a little bit of persuasion, and we got it all done, and everything's nice, but. In dealing with anger. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, I don't normally walk to a place where I get a little angry. I go from being irritated to off the handle. And way off the handle. It's not a thing where I'm going to gradually build my voice up. I'm going to go from here to 10. That's it. There's no middle ground. I can handle the anger sometimes. Sometimes I handle it very well. Sometimes I handle it very poorly. Sometimes the anger is given to where I need to apologize afterwards. That's killer. Don't like doing that. But sometimes it has to be done. Not the anger, the apology. Sorry. Christians are blessed, are we not, with the ability to get a glimpse to heaven. We are actually given that gift through the Bible, through the people that surround us, to the loved ones that we have. We're given that gift. We still have the pains of life. These pains of life, in my case, are sometimes what causes anger. Sometimes the joys of life are what causes me anger. I'm back to the kids again. But we are to gain strength, are we not, from that anger. Learning to control that is something that I really think is the growth process that we make as a Christian who is first baptized and brought out of the water, as a young man who grows up and then is baptized and taken from the water and then gone forward. You learn to control anger. You learn to either you don't get mad as much, or things just don't bother you like they used to, because they don't have hold of you. Ephesians 3:13, it says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." So right there we're said that the things that we're given that sometimes make us angry are really the best things. You know, will my kids scrapping in the car on the way to church, will that ever make me happy? No. Will they stop? I doubt it. But am I going to miss it when they go on to college, when they're grown up themselves? I might not. But I will miss having them back there maybe arguing about those important things like, you know, somebody singing in the car or the DS is too loud or whatever we've got going on. So those I might miss. The scrapping I will not. Faith that we're given and that we're given that we build on each day when we come here, the things that we do when we study and learn, the things as we read the Bible, the things that we do when we pray, the faith that we are given from God and the faith that we try to grow is our shield to block that anger. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now sometimes, as I said before, that shield can get pushed aside. Okay, it's just a barrier. Sometimes things sneak around barriers. Doesn't make a difference. They get around them. You can always call on God for help. Now, the thing that's really difficult is realizing when you're angry enough to ask the one that can help you and make that call to God to ask for some help. Now, I said I go from a 4 to a 10 right now. There's no middle ground. It takes a long time to get to the 4. It takes that to get to 10. In that amount of time, I have a hard time asking my Heavenly Father for help. Hard time. Because there's not a lot of space in there. There was enough space for me to get mad, but there wasn't enough space to stop it. It just, it's out. There's no middle ground. Ephesians 3, 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God knows. All right, when he made this, he knew what he was looking at. Now, does that mean that because of those little things that I'm being given that would pull me the other direction, I should let that go because that's the way I'm made? I am temperamental. I'm very picky on certain things. There's things I like to have my way, like this, all right? There are things that I do that I know make other people angry. And some of them probably in that bench, and I'm sure they could tell you the same stories from yesterday in our little cleaning escapade, just like I'm giving you today. But they don't have that opportunity, do they? Anger is a grand tool of evil. If there was ever something out there that was a way to pull you out and make you stand apart, it is anger. Now, this can be anger at the kids. Between man and wife, that never happens. Between the people of the world, learning how to deal with anger is really something. I can tell you that more often than not, I have more tolerance out in the workplace and dealing with my own anger. I had a situation this week than maybe I would have had at home. Okay? I have a harder time taking it where I think they ought to love me a little bit more than I do at work. And that's really not right. Anger can be directed in any form. Have you ever thought of the things that make you angry? The newlyweds in the group, did you ever think maybe picking that towel off the floor and putting it into the hamper would irritate you? Did you think that maybe just kicking a sock out of your way when you walk into the bedroom would upset you? I said I was picky. All right. I mean, those are the things that you just don't plan on, and the weird little niche things that can drive you crazy. Now, being a Christian, in that nice threefold cord, we know keeps us grounded and circles around that. So we pick up the towel, put it in the hamper. We don't kick the sock out of the way anymore. We just lift the sock up, put it in the hamper. Not a long track. Just a little trip, no problem. Anger can be directed towards instruction. People that you have asked for help can sometimes give you a response that is for your own good that you don't like. I have a degree in culinary arts. I worked as a chef for 8 years. The last place I worked, we served 5,000 meals a day. A day. That breakfast and lunch. We had a dining room that served the high end, and I had 24 cooks and a total of 75 employees. In that, I was responsible to answer for the product that was being prepared at each meal. Once in a while, I'm asked a question at home about how something is made. It's only fair I should know. Is it not? That's where my degree is. That's still what I do today. I sell food. Now, if I were asking a law question to a lawyer, and he gave me a response, or she gave me a response, I think I would probably believe it. I might not agree, but I would believe it. With me, in the cooking thing, because cooking is a grand personal scheme, is it not? Everyone in this room at one point has cooked, or at least turned a microwave on and heated something. All right, everybody. Everybody has their opinion. So what you do is when you're trying to make something, rather than ask someone who might know the answer, or maybe know how to prepare it a certain way, you ask them when that answer is given, then you go, oh, that's not right. And that does happen at my house. Not for my children either. But you can gain anger. All right, if you're dealing with somebody that's you're going to ask, how can I improve on this? And they give you an answer that sometimes isn't what you want to hear. It sometimes hurts, right? And being hurt a little bit can make you angry. Direction. Which way do I go? That answer can sometimes hurt. And sometimes with hurt, anger comes out. All right? I'm not talking about directions in the car, which every man in this place has either asked or failed to ask for, and then we've gotten lost and had to make U-turns and right turns. Doesn't make a difference there. I'm talking about direction in your life. If you come forward to somebody in the church, if you come forward to an elder and you've asked, what do you see that I need to improve on? And they tell you, accept it. Because coming here and asking for direction is different than being in the world sometimes and asking for direction. I'm not saying people of the world can't give you a good, honest answer, because I don't believe that. But I'm saying here the answer is given with love. So if someone says, you know what, I really think you just need to study a little bit more. Or maybe you need to learn to speak a little bit more. Or maybe your rhythm's off. I don't know. When I think it's a very difficult thing to stand up here and lead songs. I look at that. I sing in the car very badly all the time. And I'm positive that to stand up here and lead songs, I would have to lead them. Over here where the mic don't work. I don't think I could just do it. Not that I'm not considering trying. I just am not ready yet. Proverbs 5:12. And say how I have hated instruction and my heart hated reproof. So even in the Bible we're getting a little bit of instructional fight back. Sometimes we can be angered with praise. Do you know these people? People that don't accept a compliment? That it seems to upset them a little bit? You just did a great job in the game. I missed a block on the third quarter. I know I could have done better. You get 99 out of 100. Yeah, but I missed that one. Sometimes you get a little bit of that feedback. And I don't know if that's because you can't accept a compliment. Or maybe you just expect the perfection thing to go forward. I have never had to worry about being upset about a 99 out of 100. Ever. Not in this lifetime. Ever. Very glad to get there. But there's people that can't accept it. If someone tells you you did a good job, say thank you. All right? If they're going out of their way to tell you that, say thank you. Simple. Don't fight it. Accept it. Enjoy that compliment. Because they don't come that frequently. Take them. Staying on the path of evil. Staying off. I'm sorry. Messed that up when I wrote it down. Staying off the path of evil is tough. It's a very difficult thing to do. Anger is one of those things that can lead you that way. I could tell you that if I'm having a rough day in the car, and I flip on the radio, and I listen to somebody screaming into that radio, it's pretty easy for me to go along that same route. If I listen to music in the car when I am upset, it kind of feeds that anger a little bit. Not all the stuff I listen to is great, and sometimes it's really fast and loud, and that's, I'm sorry. And I yell. I yell in the car because it's easy. But it's those things that you have to really be looking at. Okay, there's things in this life, in this world, that feed that anger, feed it, and drive you to the point of where you're going to fly off the handle. Not just from being a little upset, but flying off to handle the point where you're going to make a mistake. A stupid mistake that will change your life. That will change somebody else's life. That will change the way people look at you as first a Christian and then as a person, and they'll never be able to get that opinion back. And if you feel this anger building, you need to call on help. Psalms 30 and 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, but his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We have that help we need. Right in front of us. In the car. We carry it. Some of us carry a small book. Something you can download onto your handheld. Whatever you carry around. There has to be a way. Something written down in your wallet that someone at church passed off to you. You know, those are special things. And those are things you use when you get in the situation of where you're going to fly off the handle. Now, what we're looking at, and what I'm looking at every day, is dealing with that. It's not that I walk around angry, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's a very simple thing to go to out in the world. There's things that make you angry. Every day I listen to the radio, and there's things I disagree with very much in the way that we're heading as a nation. Every day I listen to the radio, I worry about hearing about all these things, the economy picking up, but yet the jobs are still going away. Things like that worry me, because I never know if we're getting a straight shot or a double talk. If something's bad, I just want somebody to look me in the face and say, it's bad. But the help we need is there. Psalm 7, 10 and 11. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. So now, is God's anger the same as what I'm discussing? It's really not. In no way. God's anger is a righteous anger. He's concerned for the wicked and the things that they are doing that drive them away from Him. When anger takes you to a different place, you are becoming part of the wicked and you are falling away. And if anger is what's getting you there, you need to ask for help. And maybe if you see someone going that direction, you need to grab them by the hand and give them a little help. Because it's a hard thing, and it's definitely hard when you don't notice it. In your mind, you just swing that way. Sometimes the mind takes you to a place where you don't need to be. That is righteous anger. Righteous anger is the correction of sin. When you have a child reaching for a burning stove and you slap their hand away, you are trying to protect them. And you may yell, "Don't!" in the same tone that you would yell at them if you were mad, but you're not mad. You're trying to save them from pain. When you're looking at people in this church as a Christian in this world, and you see them going down the righteous or the wrong way, that's correction. That's righteous anger. Could be upset of what they're doing. Don't be upset about the person. The person may not know, either may not know better, have never been given the truth, or just needs a little correction to come back. Don't be upset by the fact that that is going that way to the point where you don't feel good about helping them. If you see somebody going down the wrong path, you knew somebody from here today was going to walk out and start selling drugs on the street, would you not take them by the hand and pull them aside? And at least say, you know what you're doing is wrong. If you saw somebody staggering out of a bar at any point in this room, would you not grab them by the hand and say, that's wrong? Okay, that's not what we're here to do. That's righteous anger. Anger made to the place of where you're worried about the sin and getting rid of the sin and saving the sinner. Because we are told to hate the sin and love the sinner. And I say this a lot because it's important. that you separate those two. Because you were going the wrong way doesn't mean you can't turn around and go back the other way. They call it the righteous U-turn if you want to, but that's still a fact. If you're going the wrong path, you can always turn around. Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Let the sun not go down on your, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Now I'll tell you what, I always thought I had this verse nailed. Alright? Because when I got mad right now. Sun never set on mine, boy. I let you have it. Hear it coming. It happened today. Obviously, I was wrong. Doesn't mean to let the sun go down in your wrath. It means not to carry it day to day. It means to make sure that it's gone away and take care of it before the sun sets. So those of you that are really, really digging that last definition, that's not it. Joel 2 and 13. And read your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness, and repenteth himself of the evil. When I think of slow to anger, I always think of my grandparents, my grandfathers. My grandma on one side was gone really basically before I remember a lot of her. You know, I still kind of remember the smell of the lotion stuff she wore and that kind of thing. But I remember my grandparents, you know, just calmly seeing things through. You know, my dad might come in, and my dad is very calm now. But seeing him go to talk to his dad, you know, on a Sunday after church, and kind of listen to him hash through stuff. And I always hear Grandpa with just the same tone, never getting excited, just calm and walking it through. And my mom's father was the same way. You know, they just, I don't want to say mellow, but it was just very hard to upset them at that point. Okay, I don't think it was all the way through. But at the ending of their life, the winter of their life, they had learned that, you know, these things are just things. And to be worried about that or to be upset about that, you know, does it matter? Now, does that mean that today when we walk out and I have to kick that sock out of my way, it still won't irritate me? It doesn't. It doesn't at all. Does that matter? Does it mean maybe I won't let it irritate me and I'll pick up the sock and put it away? I will after I give instructions to my children not to throw their sock on the floor. We as Christians hold the keys to heaven. It is in our grasp. If you are here this morning, you have an idea of what that looks like. Somewhere in your mind. A place of where we are trying to get. A place to see our loved ones. A place to see my grandpa and grandma and talk to them again. Do we know if we'll be able to? I still like to think so. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. He's overcome the world and he has opened a path. He's removed our sins and given us the ability to have opportunity to see him, to hold his hand, to walk down the streets of heaven and be able to have that discussion. When you are upset in this world, look to heaven first and remember that these are just things. They aren't things that are never going to go away, but they're just things. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. At the end of each service, we offer a gospel invitation. Please come forward if you have things that we can help you with at the church. If you'd like to place your membership here, please come forward as we sing the last song.